Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show,
a podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City. We have a surprise today.
I know. Okay, so you guys, we sat down and then Liz goes, wait a second, I gotta go to my car for our to get something for my soft intro or whatever. We call this a soft intro, like, good morning, like, how are you and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, what do we have? What's going on? Now my palms are sweating because Liz had to go get a prop from the car.
Before I even bring out the prop, tell us how you feel about surprises. I feel like...
I hate them. Usually, I'm pleasantly surprised later. Like, it's pleasant. But then if I know that the surprise is coming, that's the worst. Because the anticipation.
I know.
What the hell is it?
I've kind of learned that about you. I feel like...
I really don't like this pattern of where Liz likes to watch Amy score.
Well, I just feel like you're very...
Kind of sucks. What is that?
Okay, we're going to get
She's
right
got there. It underneath her shirt.
My 15 jackets. So I have a very dear athlete who I'm not gonna name her. I told her I'd keep it anonymous because she's just a darling human. And her dad, I believe, is also similar to Fredward. We've had some good conversations about, you know,
quirky dads.
But her dad is into weather.
What? And is this a little present?
So she came. She brought the weather book to me and said, this is my dad's weather book that for Amy to read. And it
what?
Is like, it was so cute.
Oh my God, this is an amazing surprise. I love it.
See? Not all surprises are bad.
You led me on that it was going to be uncomfortable.
No.
Yes, you did.
I feel like you assumed it was going to be.
Can I say the title and everything?
Yeah, you can say the title. And it's so yours. It's a present.
Oh my God, I love this so much. This is so thoughtful. Okay, the cover or the title is Warnings, the True Story of How Science Tamed the Weather.
That's so cute.
This is so mean.
I know.
And it's got, for warnings, for the letter I, it has this umbrella, this bright orange umbrella, and then the background is this dark blue thing. And it's written by Mike Smith.
I thought it was very...
Oh my God, I love this. Will you please tell the athlete that gave this?
Yes.
Thank you so much. And if you're listening, thank you. Okay, so today we're going to talk about saddle issues, what, you know, some of the big saddle issues are with cycling and, you know, what causes it, things like bike fit, the type of saddle, biomechanics, and even down to what you wear. All of those things we're going to talk about today. So, Liz, let's have you start off telling us about one of the saddle issues, saddle sores.
Well, yeah, I mean, saddles cause a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. You know, they're one of three contact points when you're on the bike, right? You've got the handlebars, the pedals, and the saddle. And when you have a contact point, they're not going to forgive any movement. So that means your body then is adjusting for that. So you can get all kinds of rubbing, like, you know, like topical skin rubbing. You can get hot spots that are from pressure points that aren't rubbing, but they are like tender hot spots that get...
Let's talk about that. Like the difference between a sore and a hot spot and chafing.
Yes. Well... And, you know, people, just if you're new or you haven't cycled before, people don't want to talk about it because you're like, you don't want to go to your coach and be like, I have a butt boil, right? I mean, but if you're a runner and you hear somebody talking about crapping the pants, like if you've been a runner for any amount of time, like you probably...
It rolls right off.
It does. Okay, and so this is saddle sores with biking in the nether regions. Like it's part of it.
I have a funny story about this because when I first started training for triathlon...
Oh, God.
Okay. And I got my bike and this is from, actually wasn't necessarily a triathlete. Somebody I was seeing in the clinic and she's a hardcore cyclist. And I was like, woo, that is, you know, it's something else in the nether regions. And she's like, oh, don't worry. It'll harden up. And I was like, oh, I don't want anything to do with hardening in the nether regions. I don't want a callus. I don't want, you know, you got calluses on your toes from running and on your feet. And I'm like, we don't need a callus there. That sounds not good. If that's part of the sport, I'm out.
She may want to consult her bike fitter.
Yeah, like, oh. And I think it's hilarious because she's like super hardcore, but at the same time, like, I really don't think there's true hardening and calluses that have developed on her, but that she's just like, it was her way of saying, you'll get used to it over time. You will, you know,
Amazing, you continued. I don't feel like we're looking for calluses, but
but yeah, back to what you were saying. Okay. It can be an embarrassing topic to mention to somebody.
It is, but it is like, it is super important for a lot of reasons. One, for basic comfort. Two, you know, if once those start, you might be on your bike anywhere from an hour to 10 or 15 hours a week, depending on what you're doing. And so that's a lot. If you aren't right on it and you just keep hitting that spot over and over again and they don't heal, right? And that skin underneath starts to get tender. I mean, it really can become quite a problem.
It can become infected.
Oh, I've had an athlete go septic.
Yeah.
From one.
And I remember you telling me that story. Yeah. I think that's very important.
It
because,
is.
Let's explain what septic means.
Nope.
Infection becomes through your whole bloodstream.
Yeah.
That can result in death. Okay. So that's an extreme example.
Very extreme.
Extreme example. But it does make the good point that if you do have sores that are like oozing with pus or you have a fever with that, that's when you go see the doctor about your saddle sores.
Well, right? And here's the thing that people don't realize. You got the rubbing, right, on that thing. And that's like usually pretty obvious because, you know, it's external. But the thing about some of those hot spots is that they're not necessarily external. And in fact, struggle with hot spots. And so like I found one the other day I didn't even know I had, and it took my breath away. It was so painful, but there was nothing externally. So they go internal and you don't realize that you have that infection inside. And so you have to kind of keep an eye out. You need to check around because you're not always going to know on the outside that that's the issue. Right. So those hot spots, to watch for that. And, you know, sometimes we'll talk about like fixing those, but sometimes it's just a matter of like, you know, the fabric, like the seams of your bike shorts rubbing. Sometimes it's actually like the saddle itself. Sometimes it's the bike fit. So we'll get into that. But, you know, all kinds of things are happening in there because you are locked into a position on a hard saddle for many, many hours. And so, you know, you gotta take care of things.
Yeah. When you get a blister on your foot, very different from a blister in another region. Okay, let's talk about another issue that can occur, and that is pudendal neuralgia.
Oh boy. We're going to not go that.
What is it? Let me explain, because it is a thing. It is a thing. And it's not an unusual thing. So even though the name sounds really fancy and strange, it's a condition that affects the pudendal nerve. So do you need to remember that? Not necessarily, but that nerve is responsible for the function and sensation of the genitals.
Oh, yeah.
In women and men, and pelvic floor muscles. So some of you guys already know the importance of pelvic floor. I think we'll go into that in a different podcast, but just know that the pudendal nerve serves those areas.
Well, the pelvic floor is extremely, just in a sentence or two, just remind us why the pelvic floor is so important.
Oh, it's hugely important in the stability of your pelvis.
Which affects like how
sports.
Your core and your
everything.
Breathing. And
yeah.
So it's like really like, it's like your basement. Like you need a solid foundation.
Yeah. And it's the part of your core that a lot of people don't realize. They think it's just their abs.
Yeah.
Okay. So, symptoms. What are the symptoms of pudendal neuralgia? So that is sharp pain or numbness in the genitals or like that perineal area, erectile dysfunction, and impotence in women and men. Yeah. Now, you might not have all this. You might have just the sharp pain or the numbness tingling.
And is the sharp pain like when you're sitting, standing on your bike?
It
doesn't really
matter. It could even be at rest that you start to get it.
Okay.
So why does this happen? It happens because that nerve, where it is situated in your body, it can become compressed. when you're sitting in a fixed position for long distances, mm-hmm. which you just said, that happens with cycling. Now, I'll put an image in our show notes because it's the position, it's the part of that's resting on the bike, namely the ischial rami against the saddle. But I'll have an image in the show notes because you guys are going to be like, what?
Ischial rami. I mean, just like briefly explain. Okay,
let's do a thing. Put your hands on your hips.
Okay.
And roll backwards around your glutes.
Yeah.
Like with your hands. With your hands. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, you're over kind of the ilium, which are like the big elephant ear bones. If you look at an image of a pelvis. Okay.
So you're talking about bones.
Bones. Yep. Okay. Now shift and sit on top of your hands. So your hands are behind you now in this particular instance. Yeah. Okay. Now you're sitting on the ischial tuberosities.
Which we might think of as the sit bones.
Sits bones. Yep. Sit bones. Exactly. And those are making contact with the saddle and should. Mm-hmm. Okay. Somewhat. Somewhat. Not too much. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in the biomechanics part. Now slide your hands around to the outside of your hips again. And now go down in front towards the groin, and you've got bones there. Mm-hmm. Those are the ischial rami.
Okay.
Okay. So it's kind of more of like this front part of the pelvis.
Okay.
Front and under, between your legs. Okay. So hopefully that was an exercise in kind of feeling where that is. So long-term compression there on a nerve decreases the blood flow and can damage that nerve. And there's an interesting stat that at age, over age 50 and higher body weight are factors that can contribute to pudendoneuralgia. So those are two other factors, not just sitting on the bike for a long time or having an incorrect bike fit or all the other things we're going to talk about. There is a study that was done on 100 male cyclists. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can have some more studies with some female athletes, but their total weekly mileage was greater than 400 kilometers, mm-hmm. 248 miles. Mm-hmm. And the title of this research paper is The Vicious Cycling, Bicycling Related Urogenital Disorders. Mm. And I'll have a link to that in the show notes. But what they found is that 61% of these athletes had genital numbness. So I said it was like, that's more common to have the numbness. And 24% of them had erectile dysfunction. Mm. And think about that. Like, you might have that and really think it is totally and completely unrelated to the bike and not really know why. Mm. I want to put a plug in there for people to go and see a physical therapist if you're experiencing pain and numbness and tingling in that area.
Is that a pelvic floor therapist that it would be better to go see, or just anybody?
No, I would, when we're dealing with a neural issue like that, you don't need to go to a pelvic floor specialist for that. I treat this in the clinic. And one of my favorite treatment methods for that, besides, what are biomechanics on the bike and what kinds of other, issues do we have going on that are related to this, but the actual treatment of the current issue, right, which is the inflammation, like how are we going to get that down, is neurological dry needling. So there's physical therapists that perform dry needling, and there's kind of two different sort of camps. There's trigger point dry needling and neurological dry needling. Mm. And the neurological dry needling, you're not going to go needle, don't worry. We're not needling the groin itself or the genitals.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a picture in your head.
I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Or actually needling the nerve itself. Right. We needle in and around the nerve to change the biochemistry there to help decrease the inflammation. So I just wanted to explain that. Some people are like, I will never have that done. I don't care how bad my numbness tingling is.
Okay. No matter how calloused you are, you don't want to stick a...
Yeah. Okay. So what kind of, let's just give an example of a biomechanical issue or an issue that would possibly create more strain or compression on the pudendal nerve.
So when you're saying biomechanical issue, you mean there's a problem that's arising from how somebody's moving.
Right.
Over and over and over again.
Yep. So if you do not have enough mobility in the back.
Yeah.
That could affect your position on the bike, mm-hmm. and your compensation for that mm-hmm. could align the pelvis in a way that presses on that nerve.
That's okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, and you know, just to, I don't know, just to take that further, like, you know, that then results in not only like pain in that nether region, but most of the time when we're uncomfortable, we start shifting. And so then it like, you know, maybe your shoulder starts to hurt or your neck starts to hurt or like, you know, it worse. And then you also are shifting. You're probably not sitting in a way that's creating the most power from your pedal stroke or whatever too. So that pain is not just like the injury itself, but it really bleeds into a lot of other stuff that's going on in the bike.
Yeah, I mean, that's
possibly your run and swim then.
Yeah.
And maybe your sex life. I mean, if we're being honest.
And then, but you make a really good point there, because it could be that, you know, something's hurting and you're shifting, or something's weak, or yeah, you're fatigued and your form starts to go to pot, and now you're sliding back and forth or yeah, side to side or front to back on the saddle. And then that's creating some hot spots in your sores as well. Okay. So how about the importance of the bike fit?
I mean, the bike fit is, the longer I coach, I'm like, good shoes and a good bike fit with somebody who is knowledgeable. That's what, I mean, we've got
it. We have a gym in the Kansas City area that we are so fortunate to have, because like I can chase that squirrel when it comes to biomechanics, right? Working with somebody, and you know, the more I work with them, it's like, oh, and I just kind of chase that squirrel to figure out what's going on biomechanically, the human body. That's the bio part. But a good bike fitter is a mechanical engineer, right? Like truly our favorite one actually truly is an engineer in his daily life.
Yeah. And he's a trained occupational therapist.
Right. Yeah. Which is great because he understands the pain and
the body.
And the body too. But he can chase that squirrel all day. I have to remember how to air my tires.
Yeah. No, so I mean, it's true. And you know, there's an art and a science to it, you know, and also there's a lot that goes into.
And playing around with things, you know, you make an adjustment, you see how that works.
Exactly.
Oh, that didn't work. Okay, here's what we're going to do next. Just like we do in physical therapy, same thing.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of, just to name this, there's a lot of things out there that really will tell you that this is how you do the bike fit and this is how it should be. And if you want to go fast, you know, that are very authoritative with that. And they may have some good ideas and they may apply to you, but there's an art to it, because it's, how does it apply to you? What are your goals? What can your body handle? Right.
Yeah,
because if you just lock yourself into it's not, if somebody's telling you they for sure know exactly, then that's probably not the person you want to listen to.
Yes.
Right?
Oh my God. That is such a good point. I'm glad you mentioned that. Because it is kind of, it's a trial and error thing. And sometimes you need to have a fit adjustment that is a temporary adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not super cut and dry.
Yeah.
I personally had a bike fit. We really did work on my saddle. And with the issues that I have, you know, it was all for me about the tilt of that saddle is what made a huge difference. But that wasn't easy to do, because then once you did that, you had to change this and change that.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
so
there's a lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of things.
And so, you know, if you were thinking about like how your nether regions are coming into contact with that saddle, and then so you've got your skin, you've got the whatever cycle or tri shorts you're wearing, and then you've got the saddle, and you know, you've got the height of the saddle, you've got how forward or how far back it is, you've got the tilt of the saddle, and then you've got the actual design of the saddle. So some of the saddles are like, will have various parts cut out to alleviate pressure.
Yes, the cutout thing.
Sometimes the nose is shorter. You know, sometimes, but you know, if you're taking part of the saddle away, then those contact points are increased, or the
in other places.
In other places, right? And so it's,
again, it's like kind of an art in practicing. So
really
when I had the saddle issues, that was another thing. So it was like, okay, how is the saddle fit?
Mm-hmm.
And then the saddle choice.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily here in town, you know, Mike Irwin is who we like here. And he will allow you to practice with some saddles and bring back an exchange for something until you find the one that works for you. Because you really don't know until you go and try it for a while.
Yeah. And especially, you know, I mean, if you're, you know, maybe not familiar with the triathlon or cycling, I mean, it's, you know, I've two hours, sometimes you're, you know, you could be on a bike for an 8 hour race. And so, or sometimes, I mean, if you get into, you know, gravel or like gravel, super little, you could be on there, miles. I mean, days sometimes. So it really, like, that contact point and that repeated, like, over and over and over again, you can just imagine, you know, that that really can cause, it can be really difficult to solve.
So you mentioned something about the shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Again, probably varies with individuals, different people, so variable.
Well, first, you know, there's shorts that people wear for like cycling, like road cycling, mm-hmm. and then triathlon cycling, the difference in that being the thickness of the pad, mm-hmm. because in triathlon, you swim in those shorts and you don't want a really thick pad. So for
it will weigh you down.
It's like so a diaper. And you know, you have some for gravel, like there's a variety of shorts, but for road cycling and triathlon, that's a key difference. You look at how the, so within those shorts, there's a pad, right? That is supposed to provide some padding, although in triathlon shorts, it can be very minimal. But even like, you know, yes, the thickness of the padding matters, but what I find most of the time becomes the issue is the seams in those, and different places will do different things with their seams. And so some of the seams are softer or
different manufacturers.
Yeah. So maybe like the how rough the seams are, mm-hmm. and how that's sewn or how wide the padding is, because some of those, the padding may be short enough that it doesn't like, I find there's a lot of problems with the padding that's wide enough that the way the padding sits, it's right on the edge of the seat. So you've got the edge of the seat where,
and it creates a problem.
That leg, every time it goes up, it's like, you know, you combine that with some hot spots and it's like, woo. So it totally varies. It really, people ask me like, what's the best, you know, short to wear. And, you know, there's a couple brands that are, you know, tend to do well for people.
Yeah.
But you really have to, you know, you have to try, and you have to try for a long amount of time. I mean, if you're going to be on the bike for 5 hours, then, you know.
Yeah. When I was having some numbness, tingling stuff, some neuralgias, I thought, oh, what I need is more padding. Like, that was my
first thing.
And that actually was worse.
Yeah.
So it just created more pressure. Yeah. It was,
Well, and you know, I think people will come in and they want this, like the squishy gel saddles. And for some people that works, right? I mean, I never put anything on the table because.
Whatever works for you.
Exactly. But those gel, like the more material you have and the more like room for mobility down there, the more places can move and rub and that sort of stuff.
Oh,
So, you know, you really got to try it. But.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about creams for a minute.
No, you have a story.
I do. I have a funny story because one of the creams, like I tried, like, you know, runners are really familiar with Body Glide. It's kind of, it looks like a deodorant stick and you can put it on areas that shave. Yeah. Well, I guess that really wasn't working really well for me in terms of the groin area and the saddle contact areas. So you had recommended a cream, and again, we don't have any sponsors. We're not getting paid to mention them, but it's called DZ Nuts.
Which I still love.
Okay, and I do, and I have it. I still have it. Oh, yeah. But I didn't, you know, it's funny what your kids pick up on and see. So it's probably sitting on there, and
your kids!
No, yes! So it's sitting there, and literally, okay, you
DZ
guys,
Nuts.
The logo.
Mom.
Yes, DZ Nuts, and the logo is, I thought it was a saddle. I thought it was a saddle. No. Do you know what it is? It's a ball. It's balls. And so Nina said, I was talking about it the other day. Yes, my daughter Nina. I was talking about it the other day and she goes, you mean the balls cream? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, yeah, that tube of paste that you have, say that lotion in your bathroom that has a picture of nuts on it. And I was like, that's a saddle. And she goes, no, Mom. The cream is called Daisy. Liz is having a hard time breathing.
You had nut cream on your bathroom.
Like, and you know, can you imagine my poor daughter? What is she thinking?
Why does that's Mom what I'm have imagining. Nut cream? That's why I'm laughing so hard. Like, what is this, Mom?
Mm-hmm. She didn't ask me until I brought it up.
I would.
She's like, oh, that's what it's
for. You wouldn't ask
for.
Your mom about Mom. Mom, why do you got nut cream?
I thought it was a picture of a saddle, too. So, anyway. Oh, what do you have to add about creams?
Oh my gosh. Well, so the reason, so there's a lot. you know, people use different things. Chamois butter is a super popular one that works really well.
Yeah, yeah.
There's DZ nuts, which I like because it has anti-inflammatory, like anti...
That's that,
like,
there's minty healing fresh
stuff in it.
Woo!
And there's like, there's some like disinfectant stuff in there. When
it's spicy. In a good way.
Oh my God.
This cast.
Use this nut cream.
No. This is going to be an explicit. We're going to have to mark explicit when we.
Anyway, that is one of my favorite brands. But, okay. So chamois butter, DZ nuts. I actually started just using organic coconut oil. Because it's just, it's healing, and it's thick, and stays on even when you
spray. Do you put that on afterwards, or?
Before.
Oh,
before.
Okay.
I've started using it, actually, in replacement of, now, I will say that I'm not training for Ironman right now, so, like,
fair enough.
But when I was doing Ironman, I would put that on, and then I would put on DZ nuts, or chamois butter, or whatever, so I would use both, because it's an oil, I feel like it stays, and it keeps that barrier, because you need to normally reapply that stuff, and I just, the coconut oil, and it's healing, it's anti-inflammatory, it's antibacterial.
I love that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I use that. You know, and sometimes, and I use that after too, for sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like if things get really bad, Boudreaux's butt paste, which is a diaper rash cream.
Oh, okay.
So,
but it's kind of that same thing.
Well,
it's
that same and let me tell you, purpose. When I did Ironman Tulsa and it rained and I had my everything sopping wet and I wore my bike shorts and then I ran for 26 miles.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what it felt like down there, like after 26 miles of the seams rubbing from the...
So do you wish you'd have used the butt paste, the diaper rash cream?
Well, I used it after because I didn't have it. I was not prepared for that.
Yeah,
I hadn't.
Okay.
So, but that, it does get everywhere, but it, you know, if you really have
something
cut up, I mean, yeah, you don't, there is no modesty.
Yeah.
I think that's.
So, there was one time, that, you were talking about a patient who had, or not a patient, an athlete who had the really bad sores, and you had mentioned HeboCleanse, which is this is not something you put on before you ride or anything, it's to clean the area.
Yeah.
And so there's just certain soaps that are you know, that they use in, like, if you were to go have surgery on an area of your body, the surgeon might suggest that you shower with HeboCleanse beforehand.
So you can just buy that at like any pharmacy.
CVS.
It's just in a blue bottle. We'll put a picture of it in the show notes. If you start to get stuff like that, so I will use that. So one, you know, you want to keep it like soap and water, just keep it clean and then
dry and use
the HeboCleanse. I usually do it before and after if I'm starting to get stuff. And then I know there's mixed things about Neosporin, but I put Neosporin on it. It manages the pain, and I feel like it helps. I don't know.
I have an allergy to it.
Okay.
I think it might be the petroleum. I think it's the petroleum jelly part that I'm allergic to. But
and then loose clothes. Like,
you
know, sometimes you're going to be free balling. Not me personally.
If you are.
Commando, whatever you want.
Fresh air, woo!
You know,
it's breezy fresh.
You want to set yourself up for success.
Okay, so what's our recap for this? What's our take-home message?
Well, for one, like, don't be embarrassed. Like, let's get this
talk
on the table and like ask for help and figure out what's going on before it gets really bad.
Yeah, don't suffer in silence.
Yeah.
Two.
So, you know, examine. There's things to examine, like what shorts are you wearing? What is the rubbing coming from? Could it be your bike fit? Could it be the bike saddle? Is it the bike saddle itself, or is it where the bike saddle is situated on your bike, like your fit?
Yeah. Or is it your biomechanics that are contributing to the issue?
Yeah. Just take it one thing at a time, but address it.
Ask Solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
We would love to hear your comments and want to share them with our community, for all our casts, but in this one in particular, do you suffer from saddle area problems? What are your favorite bike shorts, favorite saddle, or favorite creams? Do you protect your saddle area differently when gravel riding versus road cycling? Do you have any funny stories to share with us? Leave your comments in the comment section of our landing page for this particular cast, and you can find that at the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show.com, or you can leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks so much for listening, and remember,
we are in this together. Until next time.